We're going to continue. And thank you, praise team, for leading us in worship. And how fitting is Be Thou My Vision. So many words that are in that song we're going to hear today straight from the text of Scripture, talking about having a vision beyond what we can see, having an inheritance that is laid up for us in heaven. Great anthem of the faith. I pray that it nourishes your soul as it does mine, and as we seek to honor God with our lives. And how can we do that? And truthfully and honestly, we need God to be our vision, for Him to be our eyesight. So many times I've heard it said, and I've done it myself, and it's not neglectful to say such things, but when we make the comment, Lord, give us a vision, and we're thinking about a building project or something like that, we'll say things like, without vision, the people perish. And yes, we need God to give us a mindset on what honors Him, how we can look forward, things that need to be done, things that we need to let go by, all those sort of things. But really, the truth of that text, when it says, without vision, the people perish, it's a vision of who God is. It's without us knowing who God is, we perish. It's without us seeing Him and looking to Him as our source, we perish. Yes, we can ask Him, Lord, give us a vision. Give the church a vision for how You would have it to go forward. And without vision, the people perish. It's true. Like, we want to honor God. But really, I would ask you this morning, do you have a vision of who God is? I think of Isaiah chapter 6. The song spurred all this on. I think of Isaiah chapter 6 and the room, the temple, where the glory of God sits upon His throne. I think of places like Revelation chapter 5. When you see a vision of who God is, it changes who you are from the inside out. It really makes you a new creation in Christ Jesus when you're brought to the reality that you need a Savior, and you, by that exposure, call upon the name of the Lord. It's a vision of who He is. It's a vision of how desperate we are, and it's a vision of what He provides in Christ Jesus that makes us something different. So when you sing that song, you say, Be Thou My Vision. It's, Lord, help me to see You. It gives me the strength to endure. It gives me a way to press on. It gives me hope that's beyond what I can see. Those very truths are what bring us to Hebrews chapter 11. We've been studying the book of Hebrews for quite some while, I think about 6 or 7 months at this point. And we're currently walking through what many of us have heard referred to as, and maybe even ourselves have said, the Hall of Faith. This is where we are brought by our author to consider those heroes of the faith who have gone before, those who by faith has been made righteous in Christ, or through faith in God are made righteous. We need to be reminded as we approach this text again today of our working definition of what faith is. We find it in the first verse of Hebrews chapter 11. It says this, Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, it's the conviction of things not seen. We move a little bit further down, and it says, it gives us another true statement. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him, God, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. And then we move right into to Noah. These two statements by faith, or faith is the assurance of things that are hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, for one must first believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. These are the thesis statements of Hebrews chapter 11. This is what we're to glean from all of this, that we can have the assurance of things that are hoped for and the convictions of things that are not seen. Again, our song was, Be Thou My Vision. Lord, give me sight to see what is not physically here right now. That makes sense to you? Yeah? No, give us eyes to look to You. Give us faith that we can have assurance of the things that we're hoping in. We can have confidence in the things that are not seen, i.e. heaven, salvation in Christ, the glory of God, the power of God, the salvation of God. Last week, as we came to this text, we looked at the antediluvian era, or the antediluvian faith of Noah. And some may say, Pastor, what is antediluvian? It's pre-flood. It's before the flood occurs. This is the time of Noah. Genesis chapter 6 is where we'll see the beginning of that. When the thoughts of man were continually evil always, and the sons of God, He came into the sons came into the daughters of men. The Nephilim were in the earth. It was evil. It was a wicked time. God was sorrowful of the condition and brought a flood and destroyed all of the earth and all the living animals except for those that were saved by the ark and the eight people who were delivered through the water. Noah and his wife, his three sons and their wives. We looked at the faith of Noah and what it was to believe what God had said even before any of these things had been experienced. Before we knew about an ark, before we knew about a flood. But Noah believed God. And by faith in his construction of the ark, or by faith, he constructed the ark. By faith, he believed that God exists and that he was who he said he was. And that he rewarded those who sought after him or followed him or believed him. Noah, being a man of faith, constructed an ark and was delivered through the flood. Today, we're going to look at the patriarchal period. Now, you go, well, there's another big word. Why do you do that? The patriarchs. You'll hear it again and again in Scripture, speaking of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We read the text that considers the patriarchs, and those are the ones that are named. We consider today the faith of our father Abraham, who after being called by God, left his country and his kinsmen and followed God by faith to a land that God promised to show him. Remember, he left what was comfortable, what was familiar. She went on a journey. Went on a journey because he believed that God existed and that God rewarded those who sought him. That faith was a wonderful gift of God. We can go read in Genesis chapter 12 and we'll see the covenant made with Abraham. In Genesis 15, we'll see the covenant sealed by a ceremony where only God passes through the divided animals, offering himself as the seal of the covenant. We can later see where he promises Abraham a son, father of many nations. We see this Isaac particular, by whom these blessings come. We can see that he promises him a land that he will show him, but not to him, to his children. I'm almost getting into the sermon already, so I'm going to ask you if you would, in honor and reverence for reading God's word, stand with me as we read Hebrews chapter 11. Verses 8 through 22. God's word. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promises in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even though she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking about that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it is said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each one of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. Oh, will we have a vision like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Sarah even, and look forward to the promises of God, look forward to the city whose foundations are built by God. A nation, a heavenly one. Father, I thank you this morning for your word. As you help me to preach it today with authority that belongs to you and not me, would you move me out of the way? Would you magnify your name? Would you give us a vision of what you have promised for us in glory? That we not be overcome or overwhelmed by this land by which in which we sojourn or we are exiles on this earth. As we move toward and long for the city that is prepared beforehand by Jesus Christ himself, help us to have eyes to see the promises that you have given us. Give us a heart to desire the things that are greater than this world. Give us a hope for a homeland, not the one that we were born in, but the homeland to which we will have our eternal rest in your presence. I think of all the great hymns of old that sing songs about that homeland, or at Beulah land, or being homesick for a country to which we've never seen. God, would you reveal it to us today? Would you give us eyes to see? Would you shape our heart and turn our mind to desire those things that you have promised in Christ Jesus? As we look at our news today, Lord, we are burdened. In some ways, we're shaken, but in other ways, we're confident in the returning King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're confident that you have power over nations. And that as long as you reign and you forever reign, your children are secure in Christ. We don't fear those who can destroy only our bodies, but we fear the one who can destroy us both body and soul in a hell of fire. Lord, we worship you. Help us today to have a vision of your promises, to have a vision of your glory, your magnitude. Lead us to worship. We may be strengthened in our faith, and you may be glorified through our time here together. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. And this is easy to preach and a lot of history. And I pray today when you leave, you are strengthened. Our faith, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen are built solely upon the promises of God. The promises of God are the anchor to our faith. It's when we sing songs like Standing on the Promises of God, My Savior. We anchor ourselves. We sing songs like The Anchor Holds. All these songs that we sing are anthems declaring that we rest in our faith in the promises that God has made. Abraham was called by God to a land that God would show him, not knowing where he was going. The land of his kindred was where he was dwelling, but he was called to go to a country that the Lord would show him. Genesis 12, 1 through 4 reads exactly that way. It says, Now the Lord said to Abram, Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot his nephew went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. By faith, the promises of God, I'll make you a father of many nations. And those who curse you, or those who dishonor you, I will curse. And in you all the families will be blessed. At this point in time, Abraham and Sarah had no children. He had no one to inherit the blessings that was being spoke of. He was going to a land that he had no idea what it looked like or who dwelled there. All he did was believe that God exists and that he rewarded those who followed him. So Abraham, by faith, went wandering to wherever God would take him. I say wondering because he didn't know. I say I can rest in not wondering because God had made a promise and it will stand for sure. I would like for us to notice when we read in Hebrews chapter 11 that he does not take possession of that land, but it is promised to his offspring after him. We see it again in Genesis chapter 12 right amongst the text where he has promised this inheritance. Verse 7 says, Then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, To your offspring I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him, and he continued on, and eventually he finds himself in Egypt. Now, before we get there, we got to talk about Abraham just a little bit. Again, he's promised offspring, though he doesn't have any. He says, who's going to inherit this? A nephew? A relative? God, you've made promises, but I don't have an heir. God says, no. No, you will have an heir. Remember, what's it say? He was 75 years old when he began this journey. How many of you at 75 are expecting to have a child next year? Not an hour, one of you, right? All right, Abraham is older. He's 84 when he has Ishmael by his servant girl, and that's him in a moment trying to provide a solution. God has made a promise to Sarah. Abraham's 100 and Sarah's 90. How many of you ladies at 90 are worried about that? None, right? Don't answer that. Genesis 15, let's read scripture. Genesis 15, 1 through 6. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram. I'm your shield. Your reward shall be very great. Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless. And the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. Abram said, behold, you've given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And then, behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and number the stars if you are able to number them. The Lord said, so shall your offspring be. Beautiful. Beautiful is the next verse. And Abraham believed the Lord. It was counted to him as righteousness. That's why the title of today's sermon is the same as last week, Faith Alone. Faith in God and his provision is our righteousness. Our righteousness is the provision that was given through the blood of the Lamb. Again, that's why we're saying there's power in the blood. It's not in blood, it's in the source of that blood. Blood of the Lamb. Our text names, Hebrews 11:9, it names those heirs, Isaac and Jacob, the lineage of Isaac, heirs of the same promise. Read it right here in chapter 11, verse 9 of Hebrews. By faith he went to live in the land of promises in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. It moves on to say that Sarah, by faith, I'm thankful for that, because when you go back and you read the context of the announcement of Sarah going to give birth, she laughs. The writer of Hebrews clarifies, it says, by faith, Sarah, see it right there in verse 11? She received power to conceive even when she was past the age. Later, she says, the Lord has made me to laugh with joy. She believed God. Sarah, by faith, after the way of women had long left her, bore the promised son Isaac to Abraham. Our author revealed this posture after her initial surprise. You find that in Genesis 18. She gives praise to God following Isaac's birth in Genesis 21. Our faith is strengthened. This is the whole reason why we have that thesis of Hebrews chapter 11, that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And then go down to verse 6, and it says, without faith it's impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who seek after him. Our faith, the purpose of this book, or this particular chapter for sure, is written to build faith in the Hebrew believers who were tempted to go back by saying, don't forget how we even got here. God made a promise in Genesis chapter 12. God made a covenant in Genesis chapter 15. God gave Abraham, though he was good as dead, and Sarah was a barren womb way past the days of womanhood with her, and y'all know, but way past all this, God was faithful to give her a son. And then he tested Abraham's faith as Abraham led Isaac up a mount to offer him as a sacrifice. God gave a lamb tangled up in a thicket. God has been so, so faithful. And so our writer here is writing to the Hebrew people going, hey, remember the faith of our fathers and how we got here, and let that be what anchors you to the promises that are in God. It's the same thing that I would tell you as a believer sitting in New Home Baptist Church. Remember God's faithfulness in your life. And so when the new storm comes, you go, I can endure this. I can weather this. Why? Because God has never forsaken me in the past. I can face whatever lies ahead because God has made a promise. It reveals the author's purpose as he writes, verse 12, therefore, because of all of this is what therefore means. We go back and see why this next statement is here, because he put it in order on purpose. He says, therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, Abraham begot Isaac and Ford and so on, and Jacob and Israel. That man and him as good as dead were born descendants, as many as the stars of heaven and as many as innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. He says God did everything that he told Abram he was going to do. Did everything that he told Abraham. His name's eventually changed, adds a H. God did it all. He didn't miss the mark not one time. And so as this letter goes to the Hebrews, who would have been steeped in their patriarchal heritage, the patriarchs, he's saying, remember Abraham's faith? Remember Sarah's faith? They were based upon things they couldn't see. Abraham said, God said to Abraham, come and follow me to a land that I will show you. He didn't know where he was going. Sarah, you'll have a son about this time next year. Am I to have a son when I'm this old? Who would have ever thought? And she does. She says, the Lord has made me to laugh. The letter to the Hebrews brings all of that weight and goes, yeah, it's tough. I get it. I know you're being oppressed. I get it. But remember, we're longing for a city that's not built by human hands. When you go into verse 13 through 16, it's absolutely a perfect picture painted of how we are to live as well. Read it. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised. They received the Son. They received the blessings. He's talking about the land. Go to a land that I will show you. As he passes through, you go back and you can read in Genesis. It's wonderful. Beautiful text talking about the journey of Abraham. He comes into the land that's going to be the promise. He says, right now the Canaanites live here, but I'm going to bring your offspring back here, and it'll be their land. Abraham builds an altar and he continues on his way. I just read it for you a little while ago. We lean into the promises of God. And just as in verse 13 through 16, we too have our mind set on something that we can't see. Right? We believe that Jesus is coming back again. We believe that Jesus has prepared a place for us. All the things we're about to read in these few short verses, I want to read them to you yet again. I know I'm reading it over and over again. We got to grab this, y'all. We got to hang on to this. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were what? Strangers and exiles on earth. Do you hear what that says? You're never going to find a home here. Wait a minute. I live at 535. You're at 355. I'm at 535. Jackson Trace Road. Is that home? No, it's where I live. I don't know if I got that yet. Get there, promise. You're going to join me in just a minute. Faith is the source of our endurance. It's the source of our endurance. Just as it says here, these all died in faith, not having received the things that are promised land-wise, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on earth. For people who speak this way, make it clear that they're seeking a homeland. They're seeking a homeland. Then he goes, but wait a minute, not the one from which they came. Because if they'd been thinking of that land which they had gone out, they would have had an opportunity to return. Remember when Abraham gives command about finding a wife for his son. He says, go back to our homeland. Sends a servant. You go back, but don't take my son there. Why is that? Because the promise wasn't there. The promise was where he was going. You follow me? Go back, find her a wife. You bring her here. If she won't come, that's fine. Leave her there. You do not take my son back to that place, because that's not where the promises and blessings and joy of God is at. It's where we're going, not where we've been. Write that down. The joy of God is where we're going and not where we've been. We were reminded of his faithfulness through all of our history, right? But our eyes are on a city, a homeland that is ahead, not what lies behind. Faith is tested. Faith is tested. You see it there in verse 17. I'm going to come back to that 13 through 16. There's power in those words. Seeking a homeland. And it says, God is not ashamed. Why? They desire a better country, a heavenly one. I'll come back. Faith is tested. Faith is the source of our endurance. Faith is the source of our endurance. Our faith is grounded or is anchored by the promises of God. The faithfulness of God throughout our history becomes the source of our endurance going forward. James writes it this way. James writes it this way. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you fall into various trials or meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, endurance. Steadfastness having its full effect, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. See this? By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he would receive the promises when the act of offering up his only son, of whom it is said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able to raise him even from the dead. The testing of his faith produced endurance to the point where he even raised a knife. I had a conversation this last week with somebody who goes, reckon what was on their mind walking up the mount as his son was carrying a bundle of wood and no sacrifice. There's a little dialogue between them about it, matter of fact. But faith. Abraham said, God, in his heart, it's revealed here, God can raise him even from the dead. Now, that's beautiful. You know why? What does it speak of? God's able to raise him even from the dead. What's a word we know for that? Resurrection. In Job, it says, I know that my Redeemer will live, and I shall see him stand upon this earth. Oh, don't miss the forward pointings of the Old Testament. Say, there's a Redeemer that's coming, and he'll be right here. Why? Because God made promises. Our faith is all of that. Our faith is a source of endurance as we reflect upon the goodness of God. In his letter to Rome, these people are oppressed as well. And Paul speaks of this same hope that is found in faith. He says, through faith, we can be at peace with God. If you read Romans 5, 1 through 5, you'll find these words. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only in that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering, he's going to say the same thing James does, produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope that does not put us to shame, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. We, therefore, just like Abraham, are called to walk by faith and not by sight. Please don't miss that. We walk by faith and not by sight. The eyes of the faithful are set on things that are beyond what is seen. Got it? The eyes of the faithful are set on things beyond what is seen. I told you I was going to go back to verse 13 through 16. The world is not our home. This morning I had the honor of being able to teach the youth in Sunday school class. And I asked them for things to pray for. And one said, let's pray for the Middle East with all the war. It's on every one of our minds. You can't watch the news without hearing something. Right? Are you living in fear? Well, let me just go going and comfort you and knowing that there's going to be conflict until Christ comes back. But for those who by faith trust in Jesus Christ, our hope's beyond that. Easier said than done, right? And those days are when we lean back in our faith. This isn't part of the message. This is my heart to you to comfort you in these days. God has been faithful, people. God has been faithful. Ask Abraham if God's faithful. Ask Isaac, Jacob, ask David. Go and read their word. Ask Job. Yet, oh, he slay me, I will praise him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God is faithful. How beautiful is that truth? This world is not our home. They recognized the promise was beyond earth upon which they were strangers and exiles. We're just passing through. As I prepared this week for this sermon today and I read this text, and I read it again and I read it another time and I read it again, I thought that's the beauty of the whole entirety of Scripture. We were born in a perfect world called Eden, human, mankind were. Presence of God, peace, tree of life, all of the things, right? All of the goodness of God, rivers flowing, streams, plants to eat from, harmony with God and man, and then through sin it's all separated. And ever since then, man has been longing for what he lost. That's why there's a book written called Paradise Lost. That's what it speaks of. We long to go back there. And by the promises and the blessings of God, we're able to return, or there's a place prepared ahead of us that we are going to return through the finished work and the blood of Jesus Christ to a place of harmony and joy and peace with God and even in His presence. Y'all, the entirety of the Bible is right here in these verse 13 through 16. They recognized the promise was beyond earth where they were strangers and exiles. You can read it right there. It says, for people who speak this way, make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. They had their eyes on a homeland. But it wasn't back in Ur. It was not Titus or Slapout. It was not Florida. It was not Texas. It wasn't Texas. It wasn't Indiana. It's a homeland that's beyond any of those places. It's greater than we could ever imagine. My sweet grandmother, she was passing. She'd say, I just want to go home. We're sitting in her living room. Her eyes were on a city whose foundations and builder is God. Her hope wasn't on whatever it is, Highway 143. Her hope was in home. Her eyes were on the prize, just as Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, and all who throughout history who have believed in God have hoped on something beyond what they could see. And they have confidence in it because the faith of God dwells within them. They have endurance because they can look back on their life and go, all the days that I was in rebellion, God never once forsaken me. Before I even called upon His name, the Lord God was preserving me and keeping me. His sovereign hand was upon me. I wish I could tell you what I know by experience and you would believe me, but it's until the Spirit of God reveals the truth in your own life that He has kept you to this day, to this moment, so that you by faith can trust in Jesus and you'll have a homeland beyond Titus, Alabama. I can dance around with feathers on or anything else and I can't convince you what the Spirit has to do. But I believe that He will. I believe that He will. And I believe by you placing your faith in Jesus Christ, you too will set your eyes on a homeland beyond whatever you call home right now or will all the days of your life. Because it only our home that we live in now only provides conflict, talking about the earth, and pain and sorrow fills every corner. For those who have faith in Christ, they can have a hope in a homeland that is ahead. Because of that faith, just here in Abraham, through this faith, God is not ashamed to be called their God. He's not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city. When they follow in obedience through all the trials, all the land conquering, all the land lost, all the good kings, all the bad kings, all of this, those who maintain their faith, who keep their faith, it says that God is not ashamed to be called their God, and for them He has prepared a city.
that homeland that they're longing for. It's right in the context. Faith shifts our focus to beyond our sight. The Hebrew believers are called to boldly endure because of testimony of their fathers to the faithful promises of God. Abraham offered Isaac unto death because he believed God could raise him from the dead. Isaac blessed Jacob with the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth in Genesis 27. Jacob, whose name becomes Israel, blessed Ephraim and Manasseh, Joseph's sons, believing in a promised land that he had never possessed. When he blessed them, they were in the land of Egypt. And next week, we're going to pick up what happens after that. 400 years later, a man named Moses is raised up to lead them back into the promised land. The whole of the Bible is in Hebrews chapter 11. We had before the flood. Now we have the patriarchs. And then we're going to have the exile next week. The wilderness wandering as God brings his people into the land that he has promised and prepared them beforehand. Oh, man, Joseph made arrangements. Joseph believed so much that they were going back home. You know what he did? He said, when you leave here, take my bones with you. Don't leave me in this foreign land. I got my mind on a homeland that is the city of God. And you go, well, that was earthly. He dug them up here and he went and he planted them here. Yes, but the picture is something even greater than that. Cry, don't leave my bones behind. We join the patriarchs by believing that God is faithful in the promises that he has given us through his son. We too are looking for a city. Amen? We're looking for better than this. That's why you're here this morning. You're going, there's got to be something better than what I've dealt with all week. There's got to be something better than the heartache that has been voiced to me in the last month. There's got to be something better. There's got to be a place where peace of God is personified. And for us spiritually, now it's in Christ, but there's a promise that lays ahead. We, too, are looking for a city. Oh, y'all. And it's a place that is prepared with a promise. As I read that and I think about the city that I long for, think about something where everything has been reconciled and made new, where there's joy and there's hope, there's peace constantly. There is no more conflict, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more broken hearts, no more sicknesses, no more pain. I'm driven, just as we are many times at funerals, to be reminded of John chapter 14 where Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled, believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go in to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am you may also be. And you know the way to where I'm going. Thomas has a dialogue with him. Jesus answers, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man coming to the Father but by me. You want to go to the city that Christ has prepared? Jesus says, I'm the door. In John chapter 10. I'm the door. I'm the way. You go, tie that to by faith. It's the only thing we have to do. It's the only thing we can do is believe that Jesus is our salvation. Just as Abraham believed God in Genesis chapter 12, he followed him to a land that he would show him. And it says that his faith was counted to him as righteousness. For us to be made right with God, for us to enter into that city that is prepared with hands, not by human hands, but by God, we do it through the only way. And Jesus just gave us the answer. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. The beauty of Hebrews chapter 11, 8 through 22, is a mystery and mythical to those who do not have their hope in Jesus Christ. For those that believe in Jesus, as confident as anything. It's a conviction in the things not seen. Remember our definition. Remember our definition. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we do not set our hope on this world. It's filled with sorrow. But our hearts look forward with longing to a city that is built by God. And God tells us how we get there. One way. Christ. Today, do you believe in Jesus? Today, do you have a hope for a city beyond what we can see? Do you have your desires for a homeland? Not Titus, not slap out Florida, Indiana, or Texas.
city of God, the kingdom of God. Our streets are gold and the gates are pearl, and all those wonderful imagery should just tell us it's beyond our imagination. When no eye has seen or heart has imagined what God has prepared beforehand. I want to say it very specifically one more time. Apart from Christ Jesus, that promise is beyond your reach. Put your faith in Christ. Call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. To God be the glory. Father, I thank you this morning for your text. I feel in my heart relatable to Paul's statement in 1 Corinthians 7. I hold this treasure in jars of clay, in a jar of clay, an earthen pot, a cracked vessel, a flawed man as it were. But I believe that to put on display that the power of salvation belongs to you, God. May you magnify your name today by giving us the confidence to endure. May you magnify your name today if there's one that doesn't know you, and today you've pierced their heart, that they would put their faith in Jesus Christ. Would you help us, Lord, to be open before you now in these moments? For some, today is a day of repentance. For some, today is a day of being reminded of the hope that they have in Christ Jesus because they have their faith in him. For someone today, it might be a day to come to faith in Jesus and be saved. God, you have the power. Help us to long for it with eager anticipation for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.